Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Guys, what's up? I want to take a quick second to let you guys know that our podcast is supported by Anchor. That's right. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. I'm doing this ad from my phone as we speak. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Evidently, I can't talk. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Now back to the show.
Hey guys, I want to take a quick second to let you guys know that we have partnered with Louis Wickett of Key Mortgage Group. To me, it seems pretty simple. When you get into the process of buying a home or you're trying to figure out your personal plan for the next 3 to 5 years, that should be an easy process. And when you walk away from that, you should feel really secure about the deal you're getting and who you're working with. And that's why we've teamed up with Louis. He has been doing it for years now. He knows exactly what he's doing throughout the entire process. And the best thing is he takes an educational approach with his clients. He makes time for you, he's relatable, and he wants you to get the best deal possible. Whether you're just trying to figure out where you are in the process or you're literally ready to buy right now, Louis is your answer. I keep hearing it's a great time to buy right now and get into real estate, buy low, sell high, or something like that. Louis knows more than me, and he's ready to talk with you today. We've set up a personal email for Wash Up Walk-Ons listeners to contact Louis at hawks@gohomeside.com. That's hawks@gohomeside.com. Or you can call Louis at 515-238-9949 to start the process. Episode 129 of the podcast, Washed Up Walk-Ons fans. And last year, the Iowa football nation was blessed with the emergence of freshman running back Tyler Goodson. Today, we bring on his father, Mo Gucci, Maurice Goodson, to talk about number 15 and the Hawkeyes and everything that's been going on. This is one of the special podcasts we've done. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Washed Up Walk-On fans. Episode 129, I think, of the podcast. And today, it's pretty exciting to bring you guys one of the parents. We got a parent on the pod today. This is the old man, the pops of the young superstar, Tyler Goodson, one of the most infectiously positive personalities that you can find on social media, which is actually a really hard thing to find these days. A real positive voice for the people, for the Iowa people, and we're really looking forward to having him on. So, without any further ado, I'd like to welcome Maurice Mo Gucci.
What's up, baby?
What's going on?
What's, It's good, man. First of all, I'm not old, boss. You know what I'm saying? Let's get it right.
Hey, I'm just saying, I call my old man, and my pops, so that's just how I refer to you.
Nah, I just mess with you, man. It's all good, man.
Maurice, where did Mo Gucci come from?
That's my nickname, Mo Goody. It's Mo Goody, but I put it out there as Mo Gucci.
Oh, Gucci. Right? Gucci.
Yeah, just trying to have, you know, put a little emphasis on it, have a little fun with
okay,
it. You know?
Okay. I saw before we, you know, we're gonna talk 15. We're gonna talk Tyler Goodson. We're gonna talk everything. I saw last night you put on Twitter that you're on a raw vegan diet right now.
All day, every day, baby.
What's going on with that?
Man, hey, I'm not gonna lie, bro. I'm in my eighth day, and my first 2 days, around 1 o'clock midnight, I go downstairs, there's a barbecue bag of chips on the counter. Bruh, and I've been eating veggies all day. Veggies and water, sauteed, whatever, how you want to fix it. So I stood there and looked at that bag of barbecue chips for 5 minutes, bro. I didn't give in, though, you know? But I was like, you know what? Man, I can do this, man. It's easy. It's just nothing but a mental thing. And, bruh, hey, I feel good, man. I never felt bad, right? I mean, right. I still work out. I'm still very active or whatnot. And I tell T good, I still got to run you know. But yeah, but it's good though, man. So I'm just trying to change up some things and keep my same weight and just continue to stay lean and don't get buff with it. That's all. That's my goal.
I love it.
Yeah.
You and your wife have become this sort of bright spot in the Iowa community over the last, you know, really since Tyler has entered the program, but especially in the last couple months since all this Iowa stuff has gone down. Talk about the Iowa fan base and kind of you guys being indoctrinated into this Iowa family. And it's only been for a short time, about a year now. Talk about what you think of Iowa and the Hawkeyes.
Man, it seemed like 5 years, man, and we had just began to get started, right? But Hawkeye fans, man, I love them, right? Females, males, everybody is so cool, family-oriented, right? And I just said that one time, I mean, before, when I was out in San Diego when I interviewed Keith Murphy. But, man, it's a joy just to have, you know, my boy there in the system to whereas when I told Tyler, I backed up a little bit, I told him, just go do your job, you know, do your job. Be where you're supposed to be, have great characteristics, you won't have no problems. I promise you that, right? And so by Tyler being the kid that he is, I don't have to worry about it because I know what he should do, and it's up to him to do it. But to tie that in within the culture of Iowa, man, it fits his style.
Yeah.
His demeanor, right? His characteristics, it fits what Iowa does. Iowa really don't have no drip like that, mm-hmm. right? Coming from the A. You know, they don't have no drip like that. So I told T-Go, I said, dude, you're going to have on the white New Balance coaching shoes, you know, and you know, you had a New Balance.
That's real talk, man. That's real talk.
Right. And I talk real to him, man. We have candid conversations. But I love it, man. It's an awesome opportunity. I'm glad he picked Iowa because it wasn't about me, right? Mm-hmm. I told him, hey, dude, you're going to go here, you're going to go there. Nah, because it's not my show, right? It's Tyler's stance, man, and I'm just grateful and thankful, man, to be a part of it and the love that's been shown. You know, it's all good. I'm very thankful for it. Down to the scheme, you know, of the offense, right? That's the play style that Tyler has, man, it fits. Versus the pro, you're at the spread, right? Yeah. You know, it fits, and then the protection there, man. So I love it from the football out to the community. Everyone's so down to earth, so cool, man. Yeah. So
and how much do you like your son running behind a big old fullback?
Oh, absolutely, all day. I mean, because
fullback's great again, man.
Hey, I'm trying to tell you, that's why I told him when we was going through the recruiting process. I said, bro, there's no other school to have a fullback. You need that extra protection. You know, yeah. I said, normally they pulling that tight end and use him as a, you know, a blocking back or whatnot. But coming from Georgia, you know, and he was running the spread, the wildcat, right? So we run a pro-style offense. I said, dude, just imagine now you got that protection. You got two tight ends split with a fullback. And the hogs up front. Come on, man. What more can you ask?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Kevin,
it's all good, man.
Kevin, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, yeah. Glad to be here. Sorry I'm late, fellas. Mo, good to see you, man.
You too, boss. What's up, man? I can't see your face, but I can see your emoji, though.
Yeah. I'm in the car. I'm driving home from work. My apologies.
Okay, it's no big deal. It's all good.
We got a
Before we hopped on to Kluver, I was talking to Maurice, and I was asking him like how Tyler became like the player that he was, because when we were 18, we belonged nowhere near the field. Oh. And at 18, he's out there dominating. And
yeah,
like he talked about how the training from a young age, and I thought it would be cool for the fans to be able to hear like what Tyler's been doing to kind of become the player he is from the time he was 5 years old.
100%. Yeah. I would love to know. I've seen videos this off season when the quarantine hit, Mo,
right.
Tyler and Taylor, and I think a couple other kids down there too.
Yeah.
We're right. training with you, footwork drills, stuff like that. And yeah. When I see something like that, it makes me think of my own father. My dad coached me in basketball and football. And,
okay.
And I mean, we would be out on the baseball diamond hitting batting practice by ourselves.
Right.
So I see that happening, and I just feel it. I want to hear about Tyler's internal drive, because I feel like he just has it. As I jumped on, you're talking about how he just has it. But
right.
Talk about, you know, as a young kid, what Tyler was like and how he came up and when he started really training and wanting to be something more than just a high school football player.
Right. Well, man, I'm going to tell you, I knew we was in my father's backyard, man. And there was this little, I think it was a Rottweiler puppy that was chasing. Man, Tyler, gone, out of there. I was like, what? So I was like, I said, okay. Okay, so to be his age, he running like that. So that sparked something in me, right? And so I took that man, that little small stint. He probably could have been running less than 0.1 mile per hour, but he was that much further ahead of the dog. So I said, you know what? All right, 5 years old, they started playing ball at five. Him and Taylor on the same team throughout their whole career, bro. But the training, man, I was so stern in training to create separation, because I knew as they gravitated and got older, bigger, faster, stronger, the work ethic that I had when I played ball, I said, okay, I'm going to use what I have, and I think the DNA that they have, get it from, you know, me by being, like, stern in my approach of how I prepare for the game, how I practice, right, and how I just did. Like, I just go out the practice, just run sprints, man. Mm-hmm. 100 yards, straight gassers, right? Then I just break it down. So my point is that when they was about 5 and 6, I used to throw bricks at them, right? Yeah, hands down. I used to throw bricks at them.
If you can dodge a brick, you can dodge a defender.
There you go, right? I threw bricks at them. And so, of course, they didn't like it. And I said, like, I didn't care. I didn't care. You go catch this brick today, right? So I would start out by under-tossing it, right?
Yep.
Right, just to see, get in the field, get their hands and their eye coordination. That was my point. I wanted hand and eye coordination. I played baseball, so yep. I knew about hand and eye coordination. So I started doing half bricks, getting their hands. I said, okay, they started getting it. Then I started tossing full bricks. They started getting it. I said, okay. So I started throwing overhand bricks to them. I started throwing overhand bricks, and they was catching it. I said, okay. So then I would make them start run heels, man. We run up banks, backpedaling up. Because Tyler played cornerback too, you know?
Oh, yeah, I was going to ask that, if he was a defender in high school as well.
Yeah, he played corner and running back, but in high school he didn't, because in the system that we ran, they only wanted, you know, you play one sure. side of the ball.
Sure.
Right. But the point of it is, growing up through, you know, back home in Charlotte where we're from, the training, man, we always did something after work. When I came home, if I was tired, I still did it, man.
Yeah.
I would throw frisbees at him, you know, let him go up and get the frisbee to jump. So I did a whole bunch of things to try to accent that game at a young age to create separation to be better than the others at that age,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So my point of it is also I try to create a confidence, you know, that
yeah.
level to where preparing for any big game moment, whether if it's little league, high school, college, or whatever.
Well, let me tell you, Maurice, you did something right, because and I know that a lot of it is Tyler as well. I have to imagine that when that separation that you're talking about, when they started to recognize that, oh, I'm a little bit better than everybody else, and it's because of the work I'm doing, not in a cocky way or a
right
look at me way. I have to imagine that fired them up even more.
Yeah,
because that's the way a competitor works, right? Is they see yeah. that separation and they want to widen that gap.
Right.
And, man, the gap was widened because when Tyler got to college last year, he stepped in. You know, fans were calling for it all year, and then he finally gets the start against Minnesota. And
right.
He stepped in and looked like a guy who had been there 2-3 years, a guy who, you know, was under a strength and conditioning program for a couple years. And he
right.
could beat.
Right.
Is that always the way he's been, just step up to the plate and just knock it out of the park?
He was the number one yep. running back in Georgia, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
What's that like? Because we didn't get recruited. What's it like to be the number one recruit?
Man, let me tell you something. Number one back, all state, all county, all region, right, consecutive years. And then to go over, you know, 1,000-plus yards, man. And to do it in the 7-8 conference in Georgia, you got other P5 players, man. You got good competition coming in. You got 250-pound, 40-pound linebackers to where they trying yeah. to come in and knock your head off. So he had to be strong. And the condition of our program with Coach Stewart, right, he was prepared physically, man, and mentally, you know, to handle, to go into college. Of course, he's going to make some mistakes, but he had to learn along the way. But then physically and mentally, he called me one day. He said, "Dad," he said, "man, this is easy." I said, "What you mean easy?" I said, "What you mean easy?" He said, "No, the workout's not that bad." He said, "Man, I thank God that I played in 7A in Georgia, and then Coach Stewart was my coach because he was that hard, bone-headed coach that got in my stuff, and that prepared me for me to be with another hard coach."
Yep.
And I was like, "See, that's where it is." So with Tyler, man, he always like worked hard, right? So his work ethic was there, and I think by him being in, like, they won a championship, like him and his brother, like on every stage.
Yep.
Right. Little league, consecutively, high school state championship. So they had that winning attitude, and you know, y'all being ballers. Once you win, that's confidence, man.
Yeah.
Right? That nobody can stop you. You just have a confidence. Even you know you're not the best thing since sliced bread, right? Because so it's gonna be someone better than you. Cause I tell them all the time. I say, dude, if you would have planted off that right, that left leg, man, instead of on that right leg, dude, you got about 5-6 more yards. You garbage, bro.
Yeah.
You know? I tell them, I use that example, man. And I tell them, I said, dude, you continue to work your craft, man. So when it's time to pop and you get your opportunity, God's going to take you where you need to go, bro.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know? But he always, man, had that work ethic mentality. And that's one thing I'm so thankful and grateful for, man, to where I didn't have to make him get up and go do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And so, you know, just being with some of the guys that train him, man, it's been all good and just forced them to make him better, man.
That's awesome. So you're a year into the program or you know, Tyler's a year in. Couple months ago, all this stuff goes down, right? And
yep.
as a former player, you know, we had our own kind of reaction to it.
Right.
Many of the guys who were, you know, telling their stories were guys that we played with.
Yep.
And we've kind of talked about our perspective in that sense. As a parent, especially as a young player in the program,
right?
What were the initial emotions of that and the reaction?
Man, I'm going to be honest with you. When we caught wind of it, I mean, of course, we caught wind of it quick, right?
Right.
I was in the program. I sat him down. I said, T-Good. I said, hey, come downstairs, man. I called most far. I said, come downstairs. He said, all right. He got down. He said, what's up, Dad? I said, do you have a problem at all with any of the coach? And I asked him that because I'm very close with the coaching staff, and I talk to him on a regular basis.
Yeah.
So I know for me personally, I don't have a problem, right? Nobody rubbed me the wrong way. But he was like, "Nah, Dad, I don't have a problem." I said, "Okay, well, if you don't have a problem, then I don't have a problem. But if you did have a problem, oh, we're gonna have a problem."
Yeah.
Right. For sure. You know. And so, but then too, I couldn't neglect the other players' feelings and their emotions for what they brought out,
right?
You know, just because I have a, you know, black kid in the program, I mean, I had hard coaches, man. I had coaches throw buckets at me, cuss me out,
yep.
You know, say all kind of things, but I didn't think it was offensive. They were just harming me because they wanted to bring the best out of me,
mm-hmm.
right? So with T-Good, when he told us that, man, I say, well, we good then. We go to. We don't have a problem. But yeah. You know, we gonna still have a maybe slow speaking, quick to hear, and we watching, mm-hmm. right? Yep. Just because Fowler does what he does in the program, we still watching, yep, right? And you know, we ain't getting that twisted, but at the same time, it just felt like I'm like, why now? I'm like, man, be your man. If you got a problem with Drake, Travis, you got a problem with him, vice versa, you come to each other in the locker room and you handle it, mm-hmm. right? So we always kept things in the locker room. Coaches didn't even know nothing what was going on, yep. You know? I smacked the dude smacked me in the locker room. Nobody know about it to this day,
yeah.
right? Dude spit on me in the back of my head. You know, I turn around and punch him in his nose. Coach don't know about it. So being real, man, with real, you know, y'all ballers too, man. In the locker room, so much that goes in the locker room. But you got to learn how to, you know, compress it, come together, talk it out, and communicate, man. If we can talk it out, communicate, then take it to the coach, you have some type of structure behind it.
100%.
So, you know, so that was our, you know, our the way we dealt with it, man. And I can call coach, text coach, you know, anytime. And I don't feel anything that they're doing, you know, wrong for against my boy.
I'm curious if curious if you talked to any of the other parents too, and what any of their reactions were.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of people hit us up, man, and I put it this way: T-Good don't have a problem, we don't have a problem.
Yep.
And I just nip it in the butt, just like that. You know, because what's not gonna happen is you're not gonna drag me into something to where to make me jump on board with you to where I don't want anything to deal with in the first place.
Right,
right, right. So don't be calling me 2 o'clock in the morning, 1 o'clock in the morning. Hey, did you see whatever? Blase. Man, I don't have time for it, bro. You know, and I'm just candidly speaking real. You know, your situation. You know, if you want to, you know, and my situation. But for the program, I want it holistically to be on point because, you know, you want it to be evenly across the board. You don't want to say, okay, this player. He don't have this problem. This player had this problem. No, how can we come together to make this, to unify this thing so everyone is happy?
And, 100%. Like, since you have a relationship with the coaching staff and Tyler's obviously in there, like, is the temperature of the room, is it good? Is everybody, you know, we're not in there anymore.
Yeah.
We obviously care about the program a lot, so we just want to know everything's in good hands.
Yeah, everything's in good hands, man. I'm going to tell you right now, man, those boys fired up. The room is even more intense. You know, T-Good, like, dad, I got the locker room hype today, man. We play, you know, the baby. We playing this and this and that. He said, we ready. He said, we ready. And so I think it brought about a more hunger, right? Yeah. You know, okay, yeah. He tried to tear us down, right? Okay, we're going to show you. We're going to stick together as a unit, and we're going to come out as pure gold, and we're going to you know, make this thing happen. So, but they fired up, man. They fired up. Man, very fired up.
That fires me up, bro. Like, I'm so ready.
I'm telling you, man.
What was it like going back to last year? Mm-hmm. You know, I guess not expectation wise, but Tyler got a taste. You know, he was playing, he was getting reps, and then he finally has that game. As a parent, he finally starts. What is it like to see your child finally get his chance? I have to imagine that's just such a fulfilling moment.
Man, let me tell you something. When he ran out on the field, right, I started crying, man.
Yep.
You know, I did because all those feelings, all these emotions, all the hard work that he needed to put in, right, I was like, oh, my God. And then for him to get his first touchdown, collegiate touchdown, it was so special. And it brought about every memory. When I was in the backyard drawing up plays, right, I was like, okay, Tyler, you're going to run through this 2, 4, 6 hole, right? All right, and I don't want you to cut it too thin. We're going to pitch it out to you, right? I don't want you dialing it too close. So if you go through this 1, 3, 5, 7, you know, this is what we're going to do. It reminds me of every moment when I just handed that thing off and he go up the hole, right, and just hit it. So all of that, man, all into one, you know, one yard touchdown, goal line touchdown. I thought about all of that, man, and I was just like, I broke down, man. I started crying.
That's incredible.
So it gave me every time he on the field, man. I'm like, wow, man, my son, man. This is This is amazing. This is what you work for, you know?
It really is one of those – oh, wow, we got two Kevins now. That's more Kevin than we've ever had on this podcast. The way you described that, it's a similar feeling to the first time I was back in Kinnick after playing the following year, and I'm sitting on the sidelines in the bleachers, and everything comes back. The walk down the tunnel.
Right. You
know, hand in hand with your boys about to take the field.
Right.
Do you or your wife have a favorite moment of Tyler's or the Hawks in general from last season?
I do, man. I do. When he against Middle Tennessee State, right? He took it. I think about 30 yards. He bounced it out, went down the sideline, and then he dove right at the python. I was like, goodness. I'm like, okay, baby, let's go. You know? And so I was like, wow. And then, you know, every game, man, it was a moment every game, because for him to get in what he did as a freshman, that don't happen.
No.
Right, that don't happen as a freshman, man.
It don't happen at Iowa a whole lot either.
Just, man, yeah. You know, and that's historically, that's what I have heard in the past. But, and I was like, some of the similar runs that he make in college, man, he did in the high school. And so I was just comparing film the other day, and I was like, the run he did against Minnesota when he, you know, bounced it out, stiff thumb another guy in the second tier, then he ran over 25. Man, he had the same run in the playoffs. And I was like, wow. I was like, man, God been good to you, boy, because I didn't have that skill set, boy.
I think the same thing when I watch him. I watch the TV and I think, man, what I would have done to just be able to do this.
Man, you know what? I'm telling you, man. And it's man, like I say, I can't give no credit to me, right? I'm thankful that I'm his dad, right? And whatever he got from me, whatever it is, man, thank God for it, you know, for him, Taylor, and Taven. I had to give him a shout out too, man, because it's all, man, fun times, very enthused and excited. And I told him just the other day, throw away that freshman year. I don't care nothing about that.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. You starting all over right now. You ain't do nothing last year.
Damn straight.
You know, I told him, you ain't do last year. You know, I said, so right now, you ground zero, boss. I said, this year, I'm telling you, I said, this year is your junior year of high school. Like, what are you talking about? I said, this year is your junior year of high school, dude. It's setting you up for something. It's setting you up for something. I don't know what something is, but it's setting you up to, in junior, you're getting your offers, mm-hmm. right? You ready to make yourself getting ready to go to college. Mm-hmm. I said, so this year is so special, man, because there's a lot of pressure may be on you. I said, weed that out. Don't pay attention to social media, because as good as you're done, make a mistake, fumble. They're going to talk about you when you're doing good, and they're going to talk about when you're doing bad.
That's 100% true.
They talk a lot louder when you're doing bad.
Exactly. And I told him, I said, but see, that's the thing about it. You got to know your kid, man. He don't get caught up in the noise. And I'm like, man, that's one thing I'm so thankful of, the humbleness that he have outside of everything, throw everything else away. Just being humble, you know, and what he does, that's what I'm most thankful for, man.
Hey, guys. Yep, it's me again. Got to interrupt the episode real quick to talk to you guys about Spotify, one of the sponsors of this podcast. On Spotify, you can listen to all your favorite artists and podcasts in one place for free. You don't even need a premium account. Spotify has a huge catalog of podcasts on every topic, including the one you're listening to right now. Yeah, we're on Spotify. I don't know how we did that, but pretty cool. Other things you can do on Spotify is follow your favorite podcast so you never miss an episode. Premium users can download episodes to listen to offline wherever you are, and you can easily share what you're listening to with your friends on Instagram. If you haven't done so already, be sure to download the Spotify app. Search for Washed Up Walk-Ons on Spotify or browse podcasts in the Your Library tab. Also, make sure to follow us so that you never miss an episode of the Washed Up Walk-Ons.
You know, hey man, that's a tribute to you. That comes from the daddy. That's all you, man.
Man, I just try to just keep it humble, man, because oftentimes, you know, the wrong parent, which is a lot of them out there. Did y'all remember the guy that was in the down in Florida had on the whole football suit? the pops had, he was dressed up like, boy, he was going to get it like his son.
I don't remember seeing that.
Well, I use that analogy to say this, man. It's not anything nowhere close about me, you know, but I try to keep it humble because the wrong parent can take that from their kid, misuse it, and live vicariously through their child. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right, right.
I'm not going to do that because I tell Tico, I'll smack you dead in the face, you know. I'll smack you dead in the face, boss, you know. We ain't playing them games. But at the same time, man, I'm just thankful. We go ahead and rock this season out, keep them grades high, and do your job, boss.
Yes, sir.
I'll tell you what, if he can work with the mindset that it's just the still have a chip on your shoulder, still got shit to work for, and what he's done is nothing, like that's a dangerous mindset. That's a dangerous thing to have with a kid who's that talented.
Man, I appreciate that, man. And I tell him work on something every single day. Like my buddy, prime example, starting fullback that blocked for Jamal Lewis at Tennessee. His name is Phillip Crosby. Well, we grew up together, you know. We both got recruited by Tennessee, whatever. He went to go on and play there. Well, what I did, I told Tyler, I said, beginning of the season, boy, your blocking was garbage, straight garbage, right? You ain't had no technique, boy. You know, linebacker come there, going to blow your head off, boy. And so I said, what you got to start doing, man? You got to meet them in the gap, you know? Don't just let them come in and bull rush you. So I called my boy. I said, we call him Philly Cheese. I said, Cheesy. He said, what's up, baby? I said, hey, man, give me a viral video of blocking techniques. Right? He started with the Buffalo Bills fullback, boss. Right? I said, give me a viral video of some blocking technique to show T Good how it's done. Man, next thing I know, he started progressively getting better in the blocking techniques, man. You know? Just by, you know, Coach Foster, give him credit too, because that's his position, because where he's showing him. But from my guy that was a fullback that did it, you know, it's going to come through differently than what your coach is going to give you, right? You know, so I had to give credit to both, man. And so he started doing it. So I said, that's okay. If you have that weakness, we're going to perfect and work on it. So by mid-season, you should be okay.
Yeah.
So I kind of use those, man. I kind of use those different type of strategies, man. Try to just give him something, ascend his game a little bit.
Is there anything else he's looking to improve on going into this next year?
He said that he said he was watching film the other day, and one the couple of runs that he was running, I mean that he made, he said he was running too wide, right? And he said, I see. Even though he made a long gain, he said I could have got downfield much faster if I wouldn't have widened it out, you know, too wide. So he told me that he was trying to really just study film to perfect the things to make him more efficient, you know. He said, because so much was thrown at him so fast, he said in the beginning, you know, he was sitting down with Stanley and the assistant running back coach, and they was going over like a couple hours out of practice studying film to try to get him up.
That sounds like Stanley.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm very grateful for that, man. Give Stanley a shout out, you know.
Just signed his contract today.
Man, just signed his contract and got them bags, you know.
Go yes, make sir. It happen, baby. Let's go.
You know, let's go, you know. and so, yeah, those are the things that he told me, man, that he's trying to perfect. And he's doing some things outside of practice right now, you know, at the house, in his garage, doing fire training with Jamal Lewis' brother. His name is Jay Lou.
Wow.
And that's been his trainer, man, since sixth grade. And him and Taylor with him. So he just kind of, you know, continue to just stay strong.
You mentioned Coach Foster. He came in, I think, in our last season or our second to last season.
Last season.
So we didn't get a whole lot of time around him like we did some of the other coaches. What is your impression of him? He is, from what I've seen, he's up and coming. Like he's doing a really good job with the backs, and I've heard nothing but good things about Coach Foster. What's your impression? Yeah. What does T Good think of him?
T Good really likes him, man. He said, "Dad, he remind me a lot of you, like a father figure." And I was like, "Okay, there we go." So that's what you want. I said, "You know, me and Coach Foster talk all the time, man." I said, "Coach, you're getting his tail, right?" I said, "Don't be nice." I said, "You know, you don't have to have my permission. You're a college coach, right?" I said, "But we talking boys. We both played the game." I said, "You already know, man." He was like, "Mo, you already know what it is." So he stay on him. He challenged him. You know, if like they have a meeting, right? And then like 2 hours later, he'll call him back. Hey, what do you do on this such and such play, right? So quizzing him to make sure it stick, right? He's not just using muscle memory just to memorize it, right?
Yep. Yep.
So man, he does stuff like that, man. And me and him, mad cool. Share a lot of similarities. And you know, I told him I'm taller than you, boss. You know what I'm saying? You look short, bro. You know, I had to say that.
He is a little guy. He's a little guy.
We be talking to each other, just having fun with it, man. But man, he's a dog. Uh-huh. Coach Foster is a dog with X's and O's, man. Yes. I mean, we need to talk for about 2 hours just talking about X's and O's.
That's awesome.
Right. Yeah, so I try to create a relationship. I didn't try to create. It just formed and happened that way to whereas past the recruiting, I don't care about that. Now let's add some substance.
Yep.
You know? So Coach Foster, man, that joke is so smart, man, X's and O's. Seriously, did not play – I mean, play running back like that, you know. He knows, man, what to do. And think outside the box, create scenarios. It create like false positives to make them think outside the box.
Yeah,
that's what I love about him, man.
The chess game, man. Once you start to understand how it all moves together, it becomes a beautiful symphony.
And that's what he said, man. And I see it because right here, FaceTime me, man. Hey, Mo, man, this player right here, man, T-Good didn't do this, man. You know, you know what I'm saying? So he don't just give you all the glory.
Right.
T-Good, he called me at work when I was out of town. He called me, he said, hey, Mo, man, what's up with T-Good? I said, Coach, what you mean? He said, man, he about 50% today. I said, 50%? No, that don't sound like no T-Good. He said, man, I checked his sleeping thing. He ain't getting much rest tonight. Right?
They're on top of that stuff.
That's my point, man. That's what I love about him, man. He always, like, he'll call, check, and tell you, hey, you know, T-Good had a little girlfriend when he first started with his girlfriend, and he was like, hey, Mo, what we gonna do about this, man?
I love that.
He was like, what we gonna do about this, man? he put me on the spot.
Girls.
Be having the girls messing with his head, man. Too much talent for them little birds.
Yeah, I'm trying to tell you, man.
Mm-hmm. Now, there is a girl that is a woman who – plays a vital role in this whole situation, and that is your wife. What's her Twitter name?
Felicia, right?
Yeah, Felicia. Favorite on Twitter.
Favorite. Hawkeye Nation is in love with your wife, Mo. I mean, she has become an all-star celebrity Hawkeye mom, and I would love to hear what. Everything that you attribute to her in Tyler's development, in kind of the mindset, the way that the relationship that they have, because she seems to play a vital role in your family dynamic. And
oh yeah,
and I have to imagine all of the good traits that Tyler has. A lot of that comes from her as well.
Yeah, he just got a little bit from me. You know, what I'm saying?
A little bit from you, a lot of bit from her.
Yeah. I get credit to where it's due. You know, and I told him the thighs, boy, you got to get it from your mama, boy, you know. very, very, very keen, very in tune with the athlete, man. She know the game, no X's and O's. She didn't have a choice because she's in a house full of boys that's the athletes, right?
Right.
But she would tell him, man, dude, man, you stinking it up, man. What's going on? You know, yeah, what's going on, man? You know?
Y'all don't bullshit around the Goodson family, huh?
No, we don't. We don't follow Oogie Doke, man, you know? And that's how you got to be, though, man. I tell – if I would do a workshop, man, go out the country and tell people, man, I say, man, just be candid up front and just spill the beans, right? That's only what's going to make you great. Right. So, but man, and that's what she does, man. She makes them boys great, man, and staying them academically. So what we did in our household, we split it up, right? To where she handled all the academics, I handle all the athletics.
That sounds like
a pretty good deal.
I hope my wife agrees to that.
But here's the rebuttal though now. I stay on their tail academically now. I'm still in there.
Of course.
You know, but she handled that, man, and I was like, she's smarter than me, man. I'm sure your grades in high school was better than mine, you know what I'm saying? But you go ahead and handle that because I didn't have patience with them on certain things like writing paper. So me and Taylor and Tyler will fall out a little bit. I say, man, whatever, I ain't doing it then, you know? And then, and then she'll come in and just rescue and save the day for him. But very instrumental in her boys' lives, man. And I couldn't ask for anything better to be that supporting cast to help them, you know, as they're growing up and to be the men that they are today. So, you know, I commend her for that. And had to give her some credit, man, even, you know, with Tavian for what he does in the arts, man. I was like, my son is not a football player? You know, where'd this come from? You know, but then when, that was early. That was real young because I tried to force him to play soccer, play, you know, football, whatever. He didn't want to do it. But I accepted that role. So you got to learn how to gravitate to love each child in their own space, right, and just, you know, send them off, man, and make it happen and cultivate into them. So that's how she played a strong, integral part into their life.
Life advice, baby. Life advice.
Man, I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. It's awesome, man, to be – I think to be in the position that I'm in, man, just by having the boys, the one to do it, you know, that it's hard for one to do it.
Very. It's very hard for one to do it.
Very hard for one to do it. But to have a second one to do it, man, it's hard. It's more hard, you know, and I'm so grateful, man. I'm so thankful the boys to be where they at to where, man, it's over $470K that I don't have to pay for, man. I'm thankful, man.
You're doing all right. But,
Got the free education and you get to watch your kids do what they love to do at a level that just exceeds what other people can do. It's gotta be a fun time to be alive for you guys.
It is, man. And I don't take it for granted neither, not one day. So, man, I rep Mercer. I have on a Mercer shirt with a Hawkeye hat. I have a Hawkeye hat on with vice versa. So, and I'm just proud. So every other day, you know, and so it just, man, just happy times, man. And just going through it and just ready for this kickoff the season, man.
That's so fun. Before we move on and talk about this upcoming season and how COVID is kind of messing with things right now, I do want to touch on something that your wife and you are doing with the Minority Athlete Coalition. Talk a little bit about that. It started out of this whole Iowa racial disparity thing. Mm-hmm. And just touch on that. It's a really cool thing that y'all are kind of starting up and just kind of give the cliff notes of that.
Yeah, so the key notes to it is that, you know, as players, right, you guys know how it feels to where if you have whatever they say, a certain type of coach, where you don't have a voice as an athlete.
Right.
And then certain athletes don't have that strong backbone to where, you know, if Travis, me and you got a problem, you can come talk to me, I can come talk to you. I don't make you feel infuriated, right? Or I don't offend you or you don't offend me. It should be some correlation there to where, you know, okay, let's work this thing out. So, but since this issue did come up and these former players did speak up on it and they expounded up on certain things specifically, you know, she was like, you know, man, I think I want to do something. I said, well, what you want to do? She said, I want to be a voice to the minorities, whether if it's baseball, basketball, football, soccer, whatever the case, the sector it may be, you know, down to the local high school districts. I want to be putting some type of control in place and protection to where that football player may be scared to go talk to the AD, talk to the head man, you know, because he think, okay, that wrong coach is going to jeopardize my future if I do go say something.
Yep.
Right? So the mission of it is, man, and at a high level to where you want to be that voice to speak for, to build that relationship with the AD, the head coach, throughout the administrative staff, come in and do workshops, right, from a three-core component, mental health, education, as well as counseling. Because you, take Travis, you're a baller, man. You know, you look like Wes Welker, by the way. But you're a baller. You killing them in the slot. I'm just saying, you kill them in the slot. But then – you know, coach says something to you the wrong way, you're offended, and your feelings and your emotions are all in your head up on your chest. You know how it is when you're about to fight someone when you was growing up, you had it all on your chest, right?
And yeah, Drake knows a lot about that.
I do. you're speaking to my soul right now.
I'm serious, man. And, you know, and it's like, man, where do I channel this energy? What do I do with it, right? So – They scared, man. They scared to reach out. They scared to, like, be vocal. Okay, let's grow up as a man. I respect coach. Coach respect me. I should be able to walk into coach's door with open arms and say, Coach, hey, man, I got this problem. You know, I got this problem. And so since they didn't do it because they thought this would occur, we're coming in with the Minority Athlete Coalition to be that vocal, man, be that voice, to be that spokesperson, to build that relationship, to channel that partner from us to the administration through the universities throughout the country, because we're going to all up, man.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to make a stance in this thing.
That's freaking awesome.
So we want to build, we want to create those channel partner relationships and be that voice for the minority athletes.
That's incredible. That's,
yeah, seriously, an amazing mission, guys, and we wish you all the best. Is there anything else? Is there anything that we or our listeners can do to help you guys along your way?
Yeah, man, I think so, man. I think because this is a collective effort, right? It's not about us, but I think currently we are incorporated, right? It's moving at a fast pace. Got a powerful attorney team from across multiple states that's actually from our legendary Iowa Hawkeye fans. He live in West Virginia. Then he got other partners of the firm here in Buckhead in Atlanta, right? So, like 20 minutes from my house. And so we formed this team, and, man, holistically, you got, like, the partners, the chairmen, you got elite people and serving these high-capacity roles down to the organization structure and getting incorporated, find the 501c3. So we have all that in place, right? So now we're just structuring organizational-wise. So I think where you guys can come in and help us, and we had, like, man, over 1,000-plus emails of people want to donate. They want to – how do they know – they want to know how can they serve, right? So we have a lady out in Kansas City, right, that was an athlete at Iowa, man, right? And so she's a director at a company, major firm there in Kansas City, and talked to her friend that write policies and procedures, like, for surveys, right, mm-hmm. to come in to get a survey, get analysis of, like, the players, how you feel, what are some of the questions that you think need to be addressed or things need to be addressed, how can we solidify that? So she's coming in putting together a plan like that. But I think, too, from the media and, you know, nationally broadcast now, you guys come in and help us out to be a spokesman for us, you know, to continue to spread the word, mm-hmm. you know, amongst collectively, you know, amongst you guys. And then being former players, man, that's a win-win situation, man. You know, being former players, and I think you guys can speak to, you're not afraid to go call a player out, bring them on your show. Hey, man, it's all love. Let's work through this through Minority Athlete Coalition. Let's set this thing up. So
yeah.
I think you guys have a strong voice, man, that can help us contribute and spread that thing throughout the airways.
100%, man, because just like you, man, we want to see Iowa football be the best it can be. And
right.
I guess we can let the other universities around the Big Ten be the best they can be too, but whatever.
Yeah, we don't care about them, though, right?
Speaking of – I'm sure you saw, Mo, the Big Ten Conference announced that they're going to be doing a conference-only schedule.
Yeah.
You know, COVID has taken its course over the past 4 months. And right now, you know, the episode we recorded yesterday, we kind of spoke our thoughts on it. We're not even sure if there's going to be college football. What has the craziness of COVID, how has that affected the mindset for you, for T-Good? And what's that been like to kind of balance that? It's so weird. If there's no college football, that's going to be a really big speed bump in the road of society, really.
Right, right. Well, I speak things into existence, man. You know, I believe I operate by faith, right? And so I look at it like this. My mindset, we're going to have college football.
I like
T-Good that. Man, T-Good mindset, we just get our FaceTime. That we're gonna have football season. Yeah, we're gonna have football season. So creating that positive realm, man. You don't want mm-hmm. the team to speak negative into the atmosphere, right?
Yep.
Right. I know what the situation is, and I think I'm not dumb. I know the COVID, I know the procedures and policies and controls, but football backs other programs.
Yep. 100%.
There's a lot of funding, man, that they will lose, and I just don't think, you know, NCAA will allow that to happen to miss all those funds throughout the university.
True.
You know, so
there's,
man,
a lot of universities that will just absolutely tank without football.
Yeah.
And it's not even the big ones, like the small ones. Like Bowling Green was playing two Big Ten teams this year. They're going to get paid $2.5 million that they're just out now.
Yeah. Exactly. So they're not getting those proceeds, man. So I'm like, you know, man, let's go, man. Let's get this thing popping, man. You know what I'm
America
saying?
Needs football. I mean, I'm in the worst America way. Needs football in the worst way right now.
Man, we need it, man. You know, I'm like, man, shoot, I need to get out here and, man, just go out there and put a TV in the back, you know, in the backyard and just watch for football all day. Everybody leave me alone.
Exactly. Oh my God. I would pay a whole lot of money just to have that experience right now.
I'm telling you, life is boring without sports. That's for sure.
For sure. Yep. Kevin, Drake, you guys have anything else for Mr. Maurice Goodson here?
It's been a legendary conversation. I was glad to be having it. That's all I got.
I was sorry to hop on late, but man, from what I did get to hear, like, sounds like Tyler comes from an amazing family between you and Felicia, and that's always been the backbone of the Iowa Hawkeyes. Good families with their kids in the program. And that's where it all starts. That's where it all starts. The coaches can only do so much. You got to bring in good kids from good families, and you know, we're so happy to have you part of the Hawkeye family. So thank you so much.
And I hope you started a little avalanche of us being able to get parents on, because this has been quite a pleasant conversation to have. And I would like to really get to know more players' families, because this was fun.
Yeah, most definitely, man. And let me ask you this. Are you guys well, first of all, thank you guys for inviting me.
Oh, for sure.
Always a pleasure to come in and kick with you guys and talk some ball, talk a little trash, you know, and that's what it's all about. But where are you guys currently residing at right now?
So I'm in Des Moines, just, you know, 90 minutes from Iowa City. Kevin's still in Iowa City.
Still in Iowa City, man. If you ever I'm sure you're going to make it up for a few games. Stop by the tailgate. You got to.
Yeah, man, I come up all the time, man, for all the games. And then I still come up there just to hang out with them. You know, spend time with them.
Yeah, we definitely got to catch you before a game and hang out a little bit, because that would be a good time. Drake is out in Arizona. He moved.
I damn near live in Mexico.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's out there in that's a different kind of heat. Georgia, I'm sure, is hot right now.
But it's 112 here right now.
Yeah.
Man, see, my boy out there. Like Tyler Taylor's head coach growing up, he's the defensive line coach for the AZ Cardinals now.
Okay.
Right. And he's out there, man. And he tell me all the time. Then my cousin is on the border of Mexico. He's only like about an hour from Chandler, somewhere in there. No,
I live right next to Chandler.
Oh, really? Okay. That's where he's
I'm next door neighbors with Chandler.
Drake, yeah, I give it about a year before you got some warrants on you and you actually live in Mexico.
Yeah. For real. Like they said, Mo, you are – I have a strong feeling you're going to – we've done 100 and almost 30 episodes of this show.
Okay.
It's been going for almost 2 years. We've had a lot of really good guests on, but I really do think that the fans are going to enjoy your episode more than most.
I appreciate it, man. But it's time to take it to another level, man. You know what I'm saying? Now we T-Good trying to take it to another level by working hard. You guys take it to another level. So I think by me being a part of it, man, and hopefully I can help, you know, you guys fulfill your vision and take it to another level.
Yes, sir.
You know, because you know how it is, man. When you into a thing, you become comfortable. You're doing great. You meet. But how can you be more efficient to take it to the next level?
Complacency kills, brother.
Yeah, so that's why I like to see with y'all, man, and hopefully you guys can join forces with us, man, and kind of be that vocal, you know, that vocal as former players. That's perfect, because we've surrounded all about athletes about this coalition thing.
100%.
You know, yeah. So off air sometimes, man. I inbox you guys my numbers, man. Let's just chop it up, man.
Absolutely,
100%.
Have to.
And you know, hopefully, like you said, we'll speak it into existence. Football will happen this year, and T-Good is going to be scoring touchdowns in just a couple months, lighting it up inside Kinnick Stadium for Hawkeye Nation. That was episode 100 and I don't even know 29,
I think
29 of the Wash Up Walk-Ons. Mo Gucci in the house.
Let's get a Hawks up, by baby.
Yeah, yep, hey, can you finish us off with Hawks by a million? That's our saying around here. Hawks by a million.
Hawks by a million, baby. Let's go.
Let's go. That's it. We'll talk to you next time, guys. Thanks for listening. Peace.
Hey, everyone. I'm MJ Acosta Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.